And hopefully you picked up a worksheet as you came in. And we're just going to continue our series in the book of Proverbs. And I don't know about you. I encourage you. I hope you're reading these chapters as we go through them. And because there's so much in them, there's no way possible we can exhaust the great gems from these chapters in just our time together that we have allotted for us on Wednesday nights. Tonight we're directing our attention to chapter 4 and looking at about 7 verses there, verses 20 through 27. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, this side really looks a little bare now. Sister Sue, are you going to be okay sitting there by yourself? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's stand for the reading of the Word tonight, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 4. And let's begin verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. Everybody say heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would just look into your word tonight and speak your word with faithfulness, with clarity, authority, passion, wisdom, humility. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. God's people shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Might keep your Bible open if you'd like. We'll be referencing those scriptures as we go. We've called it tonight cardiac screening. Just basically another name for maybe a heart checkup. You know, once a year, many folks go to the doctor and get a physical checkup, and one of the things the physician does is check the heart, and a careful and thorough exam will reveal if there are any problems that need to be addressed before a heart condition arises. And in fact, he tells us, I think it's obvious from the writer of our text, King Solomon, is saying that as Christians, we need to have those same checkups once in a while and of our own hearts. And in fact, he tells us that we have a responsibility to do this, because frequent checkups will enable us to identify and act on those issues quickly, both physically and spiritually. Because how many knows we can get so easily involved in that, just the habit of doing life, just going through the motions, and even when we're doing God-honoring things, and we're busy doing those things, and we may not realize when something has crept into our heart. And some of those things not only affect us, but they can hurt and hinder those around us as well. And the longer an issue or a heart condition, they say, is left unattended, then the deeper its roots go. And then it becomes harder and more difficult to deal with. But the good news is tonight we can prevent that with God's help. And this evening we can recall what Christ said in to his followers when times became critical. If you remember in the garden, right before Christ's arrest and his crucifixion, he turned to his disciples and he said, "Watch and what? Pray, so that you do not enter temptation." The idea was, be on guard, right? Paul told young Timothy, take heed, which means watch. Watch your life. And he said, Timothy, watch your doctrine. He said that in 1 Timothy 4:16. And he later said to the elders at Ephesus, he said, watch yourselves and the flock over which God has made you overseers. The idea there is stand guard. Stand guard. And so I think the instruction is clear. There's many other verses we could pull in to support that. But the question is, how is it we go about obeying this command? Okay, for the sake of illustrating tonight, I believe most of us are familiar with the concept of a dashboard, right, in your car. Think about your car tonight. If you don't have a car and you want one, think about what your dashboard would look like if you had the dream car. Okay, as we drive along the road, there's certain information that we need close at hand. For example, we need to know what speed we are going, right? We need to know how much fuel we have left in the tank. And then there's other information like the temperature of our engine. There's the level of our oil. Because if the temperature of our engine rises, we need to know about it. If the oil pressure drops, we need to know about it. And all this information is displayed on a dashboard for our in front of us. Now, with that in mind, ask yourself, what would a dashboard for our heart look like? There would be gauges, dials, red lights, green lights. For example, red lights would be impulses in our soul that have the tendency, maybe that'll warn of departure from God. How many know somebody that's departed from the Lord and you wish they had listened to the red light? Some red lights that might be on our dashboard, the red light of fear, the red light of pride, the red light of greed or resentment, anger, the red light of bitter thoughts about God, the red light that'll come on when we get just involved in a form of worship, and when we just start going through the motions. How many know it'd be good for a red light to shine and say, hey, you better get back to the spirit and truth. So note that there are just a few impulses of the heart that we might want to pay attention to and on the heart's dashboard. So from Scripture, it says, keep thy heart. How many know it's not talking about us keeping our neighbor's heart? Because no one can know the impulses that lurk in our heart better than we can. That's if we are brutally honest with ourselves. If we're honest, we can identify those impulses of the heart and that we most need to guard against. I encourage you, maybe sometime this week, take a pen and paper, that's kind of antiquated, isn't it? Pen and paper. Maybe you get out your iPhone or iPad. Anyway, whatever you make your lists on, make a list of things that belong on your dashboard. Create your own personal dashboard spiritually. Because if we do this, I think it would give us greater clarity and confidence in our walk with God. There's things we all battle with. Your dashboard will look different than mine. Right? The items on our list and dashboard will change over time because new situations will bring new challenges. So we need to keep our dashboard current. One church reformer said that nearly all the wisdom we need comes in two parts. He said, number one, the knowledge of God, and number two, the knowledge of ourselves. That means we've got to know God, and we dealt with that in our last lesson, knowing God intimately. And then we've got to know our own heart. That church reformer said, don't be a stranger to your own heart. He said, watch your heart for changes and for trends. Bible commentator A.W. Pink, he said that for the Christian to keep his heart means for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving. That's pretty good. To discover whether the things of the world are gaining a firmer and fuller hold over him, or whether they are increasingly losing their charm to him. What's that chorus we sing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The things of this earth should grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Amen. And it's the idea of us watching the direction in which things are moving in our hearts. I think, includes that idea of momentum. Everybody say momentum. See, sin's momentum always begins in the heart. And it's like rolling a large stone down a steep hill. It can be easy to stop it at the beginning, right? But once it gains momentum, it's very difficult to stop. It'll run you over. So we are to watch for that first flicker of a red light on our spiritual dashboard. Okay, so in this brief passage, wise King Solomon identifies for us four principles of guarding our heart. Number one, recognize the treasure. Two phrases jump off the page when reading this passage. The first one is, with all diligence. That means above all else. It says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the what of life? Issues. Now, there in the Hebrew, that means well springs. The well springs of life. To experience the fullness of our faith and partake of the blessings of God, first of all, we need to recognize the treasure that we have in our heart. With all diligence, communicates a priority. Issues of life communicate a promise. And the text identifies guarding our heart as more important than anything else. Christ declared that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, in Mark 12. And when describing the kingdom of God, Christ revealed the things that come out of the heart. And he said it's those things that come out of the heart that defile the man. And Christ probably had this verse in mind in Proverbs when he said, out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This verse cuts both ways because whatever is on the inside will eventually come out. Right? Whether it's good or whether it's bad. If we think angry thoughts, then angry words will soon follow. If we fill our minds with immoral fantasies, we will find a way to fulfill those desires. If we dwell on our problems, they will soon overwhelm us. If we feel like a victim, soon we will become a victim. If we give way to worry, we should not be surprised if we can't sleep at night. If we focus on how others misunderstand us, we will soon become angry. We will soon be bitter, because what goes in must come out. And sooner or later, our thoughts are going to translate into reality. We're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. Now you better pay attention to that. We're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Christ also taught us in Luke 12, he said, "For where our treasure is, there will be your heart also." The Apostle Paul prayed for the saints that the eyes of their heart be enlightened. Ephesians 1:18. We find similar instruction in the Old Testament, where we're commanded to trust the Lord with all of our heart and to hide God's word where? In our heart. The prophet Samuel, for example, revealed that God does not evaluate people by outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. And perhaps the most significant verse describing the treasure of the heart is found in Romans 10:9, which says a person may be saved, converted, by what? Believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Boy, your heart's precious. Treasure it. The heart is a mysterious spiritual reality that allows us to experience the fullness of life, and it includes emotion. But the heart is not limited to emotion, because according to Scripture, you do a study on the heart. The heart can be grieved, it can be troubled, it can be broken, it can be pierced, it can be divided, it can be joyful. Dr. Charles Ryrie defined the heart as the very core of life. So our heart is the truest expression of who we really are, okay? So a treasure, recognize the treasure. That's number one. Now, secondly, prioritize the task. Okay, having identified this biblical mandate for us to recognize the treasure of the heart, now we move, secondly, to prioritizing the task of guarding our heart. And if I ask any church to identify the top Christian disciplines, I wonder how guarding our heart would rank. Huh? We would expect answers like worship, prayer, Bible study, evangelism. And those are all correct disciplines. They certainly play a major role in this topic. However, the command, though, to guard our heart rarely, if ever, receives the priority that Scripture's attached to it. Because the unbalanced emphasis on certain aspects of faith, I think, can contribute to the neglect of guarding the heart. And we must be careful not to forfeit the treasures of the heart because we're, you know, tangled up in something else or following some selfish thing. But guarding, notice on your worksheet, is more than protection. Here it includes pursuing the right things and providing. Because guarding our heart is more about feeding our soul than just simply avoiding sin. When our heart is strong, we are able to resist the temptations that cause many well-meaning saints to stumble and fall. And the book of Proverbs identifies some things to avoid. But it also contains numerous instructions to pursue wisdom, discipline, hard work, and And it does so because our heart is the most important tool that we have in serving God. Right? I mean, it's not our experience. It's not our knowledge. It's not our skills. It's our heart that matters the most. So let's look real quick here. Three reasons to guard our heart. Number one, because our heart is extremely valuable. You know, we don't guard worthless things, do we? You know, I take my garbage out to the street every Sunday night. It's picked up on Monday morning. It sits on the sidewalk all night, completely unguarded. Why? Because it's worthless. But not so with our heart. It is the essence of who we are. It is our authentic self, the core of our being, and it is where all of our dreams, our desires, and our and really our passions live. And it is that part of us that connects with God. It connects with other people. And just like our physical body, if our spiritual heart dies, then our relationship with Christ dies. That's why Solomon says, above all else. He doesn't say, if you get around to it. He doesn't say, it would be nice if. No, he says, make it your top priority. Amen? Does this make sense? Number two, another reason to guard our heart, because our heart is the source of everything we do. King Solomon said it's the wellspring of life. In other words, it is the source of everything else in our life. Our heart overflows into thoughts, into words, into actions. Now, in Missouri, where I was raised, we have hundreds of natural springs where water flows to the surface of the earth from deep underground, and it then accumulates accumulates in pools, or it runs off into creeks, or maybe it'll form its own stream. And if you plug up that spring, you can stop that flow of water. If you poison the water, the flow becomes toxic. In either situation, you threaten life down the stream when that happens, right? Everything depends on the condition of the spring. And likewise, if our heart is unhealthy, it has an impact on everything else downstream, so to speak, in our lives. It threatens our family, friends, our ministry, our career, and our legacy. So it is therefore imperative that we guard it, Solomon says. Number three, here's another reason. Guard your heart because our heart is under constant attack. When Solomon says to guard your heart, he implies that we are living in a combat zone, one in which there are casualties. Many of us at times can be oblivious to the reality of this spiritual war, but we are in a war. But the truth is, we have an enemy, and he's bent on our destruction. He not only opposes God, but he opposes everything that is aligned with God. Includes us, doesn't it? And to be honest, church leaders and church workers and faithful folks, they're vulnerable. Pastors, include myself, are acutely vulnerable. I believe it was August the 1st, 2010, in the New York Times, they ran an article that said that members of the clergy are now suffering from hypertension, obesity, and depression at high rates. Rates, they said, higher than most Americans. And it stated that in this last decade, their use of antidepressants, ministers, we're talking about pastors, Their use of antidepressants has risen while their life expectancy has fallen. And said many would change jobs if they could. See, the enemy uses all kinds of weapons to attack our heart. For me, these attacks often come maybe in the form of a circumstance that will lead to disappointment, to discouragement, or disillusionment. In these situations, we're tempted to walk off the field and just surrender. But then if we've guarded our heart, it says, wait a minute, that's not what God has called you to do. Right? It's then that we realize that quitting is not an option. If our heart is unhealthy, though, it will threaten everything else. Family, friends, career, everything. This is why if you and I are going to succeed as spiritual individuals, we must heed Solomon's words and guard our heart. Because if we lose our heart, we've lost everything. All right? Number three, minimize the trash. Guarding our heart includes several things, but we cannot ignore the instruction, minimize the trash that we allow in our lives. Because the verses after the verse that says, with all diligence, guard your heart, those verses that follow this command describes putting away some things. Did you notice that as we read it? Putting away perverse speech. Looking straight ahead without distraction, being devoted, choosing the right path. And so these verses are similar to the New Testament challenge, I think, that's contained in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's that scripture say? Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, both of these passages, Proverbs and Hebrews, reveal the need to remove some things, don't they, from our lives that we would be enabled to run the race of faith with less distraction. And so, the sinister trap, though, of legalism ensnares those who make removal the goal of faith instead of removing sin for the purpose of going forward in faith. Now, some trash is easy to identify, isn't it? Moral corruption, perverse behavior, evil acts that harm others. They stand in bold opposition to God's will for our lives. Then there's other things, other trash that's more difficult to discern and remove. Like the lack of faith. Unwillingness to forgive. The trash of materialism. That can be a little harder to spot. Right? Pride. But see, these things can stop the flow of the wellsprings of life. Just like the easy or easily identified sins do. Trash, big or small, is still trash, right? Our thoughts, minds, hearts, and actions, they're all intertwined. In one of Shakespeare's plays, King Henry IV says to his son, and I quote, says, "Thy wish is father, Harry, to that thought." In other words, our opinions or beliefs are often influenced by our desires and hopes. And the thought, Shakespeare is saying, is born out of the wish that we have in our heart. And our wishes originate in our hearts, which, as we've said, is the seat of our emotions. And the more modern version of Shakespeare's saying is one we're all familiar with, the thought is father to the deed. How many's ever heard that phrase? The thought is father of the deed. So King Solomon diagnosed the problem 1,000 years ago when he observed, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so thoughts, emotions, mind, heart, they're all intertwined. And thus the scripture says, guard them. Guard them. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we, he said, have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, we're told to get our minds ready for action. Right there, when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, that means get ready for some action. And then he goes straight to the emotions when he says, and be sober. That is, in spirit, be steadfast, be self-disciplined, spiritually, morally, be alert. And then he says, hope. Hope. That's have confidence in the outcome. The mind prepares the heart with hope and confidence for action. And our minds and hearts will determine what we do. Thus, it's important, Solomon says, guard them. Guard them. It's as important to guard our mind as it is to guard our treasure, our homes, our physical bodies. I mean, when we go play sports, we oftentimes, at least the big league, they wear protective gear, right? You know, we keep our valuables locked away in a bank or a safety deposit box. Many have a security or alarm system guarding their homes. But then we can allow our minds to roam around freely, to watch whatever we desire, to see media that we know contains salacious material. We play music with lyrics that grieve the heart of God. We laugh at grotesque TV sitcoms. We listen to gossip with a friend. We let our eyes rest too long at the magazine cover in the grocery aisle. Oh, help me. Huh? Where our minds are concerned, some of us have no guardrail up at all. You know, when we go to a restaurant, if we've never been there before, we often pull it up online and look at the ratings or look at the reviews. How many do that? Yeah. We check the food safety rating of local restaurants, but then with our minds, we'll go dumpster diving. Huh? And the enemy of our soul is having a field day. No wonder God cautions us, guard your heart, guard your mind. We should embrace the challenge that the Apostle Paul told Timothy when he said, Timothy, purify yourself so that you will be a vessel unto honor, prepared for every good work. All right. Point number four. Energize with truth. So this is the fourth strategy for guarding our heart, and that's to be energized with truth. So note the instruction in verse 4:20. Basically, it's saying pay attention, listen closely. This emphasis is given carefully, the emphasis to give careful attention to divine truth is followed. He said, it'll be health. It's a promise of life. It's followed by a promise of life and health. How many say we need truth in this generation? Christ said the truth would set us what? free. Solomon exhorts his son to discern and hold the instruction of truth close to his heart. We live in a world that is opposed to truth. I mean, our culture promotes tolerance over truth. But the wise king reminds us that there's a difference between right and wrong. There's a difference between good and bad. There's a difference between righteousness and evil. Right? Level paths that have a solid foundation lead to success. But evil and unstable choices will lead us to destruction. And we must also appreciate the difference. Looking at this, you can see the difference between facts and truth. It's not enough just to know facts about the faith. Right, church? Facts provide information, but truth provides transformation. Through the application of keeping the truth in our heart, we advance in the journey of faith instead of swerving off course. Most individuals who would identify themselves as Christians, they know the facts of faith. They know about the death. They know about the burial and resurrection of Christ. They know about prayer. They know about witnessing. But precious few pray to know the Lord and the power of the resurrection in an effort to share Christ for, let's say, more effectively. Too many believers treat knowing Christ as a simple fact instead of what it truly is, which is it's a transforming truth. And so guarding our heart involves energizing our life with the transforming truth of God's word, God's power, God's love. May we never treat the scripture as just a collection of facts, right? Rather, may we pay attention, listen closely, because God's word, how many of you agree, it's alive. And it's sharper than what? Two-edged sword. The prophet Jeremiah described God's word as a fire that burns in a man's soul, a hammer that shatters a rock to pieces. May it form and fashion us into the image of Christ more and more and more. How many want to be like him? Praise God. Hey, looky here. I'm starting to conclude, and I haven't even screamed at you tonight. So let's look on our worksheet in conclusion. All right, how do I guard my heart? If guarding our hearts means becoming wiser and more discerning, which are both topics, huge topics in the book of Proverbs, then there are ways we can build up those spiritual disciplines. All right? So here's the first one. Study the word. If we want to know how to guard our heart against things that will pull us away from God, the Bible, how many know the Bible is the best place to start? It is full of advice for living wisely. Study the word. Secondly, spend time in prayer. Guarding our heart means having a healthy relationship with God. And that relationship grows as we pray, as we have conversations with him. Next, choose friends wisely. Choosing good friends seem easy, but sometimes we lose sight of friends who are good for us, for the ones that seem more fun and flashy. You know what I mean? Make sure there is substance in your relationships. Another one, get good godly advice. Hey, if you're a believer, go to a Christian counselor. Hello? When we're stuck in a situation, turn to a spiritual leader that you respect for being strong in his or her faith. Don't talk to some sinner on the job. What do you think I should do? Are you serious? As Judge Judy says, are you that dumb or are you just acting it? Is it just an act? See, get good godly advice. Next, learn to overcome temptation. Oh, folks, we are surrounded by temptation after temptation in our daily lives. And we have to learn ways to avoid them, learn how to walk away from bad situations. Walk away. Is this the last one? Finally, learn to overcome doubt. Why? Because doubt can creep in ever so slowly. Why? Because we hear anti-Christian messages every day in our culture. We must learn to push doubt aside, strengthen our faith, because guarding our heart is critical to experiencing all that God desires for our lives. So, Sister Jones, if you want to come to the piano, when we recognize the treasure, when we prioritize the task, when we minimize the trash, when we energize the truth or with truth, we place ourselves in a position to then receive the blessings and the favor of God. See, I read this week that nuclear submarines consist of some of the most amazing technology we have on our planet. These incredible military vessels can stay underwater for 90 days. But every 90 days, the submarine must resurface. Why? To maintain proper alignment with the North Star. While underwater, the submarine's navigational system is affected by the Earth's magnetic forces. Because these submarines carry missiles of mass destruction, they must pay close attention to keeping the navigational equipment aligned to the true reference point of the Northern Star. And the nuclear submarine provides an excellent picture of our heart. Just as the submarine may have enough physical provisions like food, water, and fuel to survive, it cannot perform as at its highest level or complete its mission without maintaining proper alignment with the true reference point. So lastly, on your worksheet, our heart is the navigational equipment of our life, and it must stay aligned with God. Amen. And by guarding it, we stay locked on to God's will, and the wellsprings of life won't be toxic, but will be truthful. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Almighty God, may we be able to take into our hearts and minds this instruction from Proverbs tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, maybe if there's those here that's allowed our hearts to stray and get out of alignment, Lord, may we take just a few moments before we exit this service. May we come, Lord, up spiritually to the surface and realign our hearts with God and His purpose. Lord, that's what I'm praying. That's what I believe you'll do for us if we'll participate and cooperate. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Jones, as you sing, maybe we can just take a minute or two. If you want to pray at your seat, that's fine, or just reach up and touch heaven right where you're at. But I feel the challenge in my heart. I trust you do as well. Let's take a moment before we leave and just ask the Lord if there's any realignment that he would love to do in our hearts. Lord, I'm up to it. I'm for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.